Welcome to the City Confessions. I'm Marianne Yip, a native New Yorker, and I'm here to discuss all the thoughts that go through the minds of people living in New York City. Since I'm a native who was born and raised in the city that never sleeps, I come across people who are constantly in a rush. I would like to take a moment to sit down and talk about what's on their minds and what keeps them up at night. So sit back and let's dive into these confessions of people I know and people I just met. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to this week's episode of the City Confessions. Today, I have Michael Sakai. She's a niche specialist who helps visionary founders, experts, and entrepreneurs. She's also the creator of Define and Refine Your Profitable Niche. So hi, Michael. How are you? And welcome.
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. We are recording on a Monday morning. It is a beautiful day in the city.
That's right. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. And I would love to thank Samantha for connecting us. It's actually the first time I connected with a stranger on Twitter for my podcast.
Oh, I love to be the first of something, so which is fantastic. And you know, it's so interesting. I don't want to derail from the topic itself or anything, but every time people ask me, you know, what's your favorite social media platform, right? I don't know if you get that a lot or not, but I get that a lot because I'm, you know, running a business. And my answer is always Twitter. And everybody rolls their eyes. I'm like, oh my God.
Wait, I love that you mentioned that because honestly, that is so true. Like I think I'm a newbie to Twitter. I've had my Twitter account for a while, but I haven't really been as active as I could be. Right. And I've learned so many new platforms now. I'm diving into different ones like Twitter and LinkedIn and really utilizing it for what it's great for. So
right.
I'm coming around with Twitter.
Yeah, no, it can be a great place. You know, you know, it doesn't matter which platform you pick to focus on. You have to remember that you can create your own timeline the way you want. It's kind of like decorating a house. You know, just because everybody else is using certain type of like a blinds or curtain or whatnot, you don't need to pick them. Like you can customize it just so that you get to love it. And, you know, some platforms are easier than the other, but you get to do that on Twitter, believe it or not.
No. Oh, my God. I love that so much. Okay. So why don't we begin by having you introduce yourself to the listeners. Tell us who you are, what you do, and what your relationship is with New York City.
Sure. My name is Michael Sakai. And currently, I help creative service business owners to really hone in on their greatness by crafting and designing their niche that they really can focus on and, you know, tap into their greatness instead of just kind of doing freelancing work, you know, taking on everything that come their way. We all start from there. But at one point in our business journey, if we wanted to scale and grow our businesses, then we need to choose a niche. So I am a niche specialist, although I do offer different types of business services, but I've been in New York for, God, you know, I'm totally going to date myself, but over two decades. And I've always loved it. Never really thought about going anywhere else. And, you know, the time flew, actually. Like, it just went really, really, really quick. But I love it being here. But I'm not originally from here. I'm originally from Japan. Actually, I was born and raised in Japan up to 17 years old.
Oh, I had a feeling, you know, because of your name. But I love Japan so much. It's like ranks top three.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, so I've never heard actually of the title a niche specialist. I think it's really
I totally made that up.
I love it because I feel like it's part of branding. It's very unique, and the name itself is so perfect for what you do as well. Obviously, it's very, you know, self-explanatory.
Right.
But how did you get into that? Like, did you have your own moment of finding your niche?
Yeah. So, you know, it was really interesting. Basically, what I wanted to do in my business was to come up with a productized offer. You know, I was doing consulting in general, and I can help business owners with pretty much anything to do with business, whether, you know, that is about, you know, coming up with a clear vision to really, you know, streamlining logistics to hiring, firing. I mean, you name it, right? But I wanted to come up with a signature productized offer that would sort of be my foundation of the business. So that kind of started from a few years back. And I was actively sort of like mentoring or giving workshops at WeWork locations in New York. And it was one of the topics, basically. And everyone loved it. And they needed it, whether they're, you know, running their startups to, you know, running creative service businesses like, you know, video production companies or PR agencies or whatnot. They just really had a hard time picking a focus. And it's not because they don't know what to focus on. It was more so about the mindset required, because they get sort of plagued by the thought of losing something by choosing just one focus. So I found that to be really fascinating, you know, just in the world of business practice in general. I thought, well, everybody liked it, and you know, they learned a lot from it, and why don't I just dive in deeper?
No, I think that's a great observation, because I even personally struggle with that sometimes, like finding my niche and figuring out, you know, what it is that I'm passionate about. I don't know if it's because I was born and raised in New York City, but, you know, as human beings, we often have a lot of passions.
Yeah, and multiple interests, right?
Yeah,
and that's
exactly.
Normal. Yeah, and and everybody has that problem, you know, even including myself. So yeah, like I thought that that was a pain point. And, you know, instead of sort of chasing multiple things and not being able to, you know, be fully present with their work, why don't we get over the hump of, you know, the scarcity mindset, actually, you know, worrying about losing something or missing out on something, just focus on your greatness instead.
Wow, that's really powerful. And I understand that you've created a quiz, correct?
For people to,
can you tell me more about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So I was, you know, it's interesting because a lot of people started to say, well, I should say marketers in general, you know, started to talk about how creating a quiz is great, you know, but every time I thought about quiz, I thought about BuzzFeed quiz. I mean, nothing wrong with them, right? It's fun, you know, you kind of wanted to know about your spirit animal type or whatever. It's fun. But, you know, like in the beginning, I resisted a little bit, but then I looked into it a little bit more because I'm a firm believer of gamifying things to sort of get over obstacles or challenges, you know, in our businesses. Gamifying and rewarding, those things are really great tools, I think. So I decided, you know what, I'm just going to reframe my story, you know, how I feel about creating a quiz. I'm just going to do one. But the first round, it was last year, I failed. Like, I couldn't finish it. That's the truth. Then last December, I kind of sat down and said, you know what? I'm going to give it another shot, because I really want people to be interested in who they are, you know, as a business owner, you know, what they wanted to focus on, what they're great at, you know, what would be the best way to sort of test that. And without like them having to do like a thick workbook or something. So that's why this, you know, what is your impact creation archetype quiz came about. And I had a fun creating it. Once I realized what the goal was for the quiz and I worked backwards from it, it was really fun.
Yeah, I bet. I can't wait. I want to take it myself.
Yeah, and I made sure that the names of the four outcomes, so there are four different archetypes. I wanted to keep it simple, so I didn't want to create like 12 different archetypes or something. That would be crazy, right? So I created a four, and you know, each of them have like pretty like unique name to it. Like I just wanted to be like, I wanted to be fun to get started so that you get to be curious, right, about like what you would be great at, how you would be connecting with people in a natural, you know, more of a, you know, your own way. So yeah, I'm sure you're going to have a fun time with that.
Absolutely. I feel like you also are just very well knowledge in this field and have so much to offer. So throughout this time of building this business, when have you felt the most challenged?
Yeah, you know, that has to be kind of a recent. So my business has evolved. I started out my career working for a bunch of record labels in New York City. And, you know, the industry has been evolving, right, for some time. And it's not like the way it was before, like back in the 80s or 90s or whatnot. In 2000s, you know, it went through many, many different changes. And I realized that, okay, even though I love doing the work, maybe it may not be sustainable because I could get laid off any moment. And I used to go to the office in Times Square, and my floor was empty, like especially after like 2001, you know, after 9/11 and this stuff, there were so many empty cubicles, and I would be going to my own office, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, I kind of need to have a plan. So my business started out like back then, there was no such term as side hustle. So to me, it was just like, moonlighting, right? Like I had something on the side by doing music licensing, because like small independent record labels needed help with that. And I was versed with licensing music. It's basically buying and selling music rights, right? Mm-hmm. And I loved doing it. But then that started to diminish. So that was my first wave of like a pivoting, like, so what do I want to do? Then I realized that I enjoyed working with creatives and helping their business grow. That never changed. That was the recurring theme. So when you're picking your niche, you know, you kind of wanted to pay attention to, you know, trends and gaps and common like threads that you can find in your career. And that was one of them. And how can I help? So instead of sort of going all in, I ended up taking a full-time job as a business manager for wealthy entertainment clients. So I was working for a firm to be a business manager, and I hated it so much. The work wasn't all that great. You know, I had a great relationship with my clients, but I was told that it was out of the scope for me to discuss anything else other than finance with them. And I found it to be so, so frustrating. So I just decided to work on my business, not to just do that. So, you know, I went through a couple of different pivoting, and the second one was about, you know, like really creating a productized offer. So a couple of pivoting moments that I went through, and they weren't easy. I'll be honest, they weren't easy at all, because each time I had to sort of shift my mindset, and it took a while to get used to it, because, you know, we're all hardwired to be good employees. So that was the challenge.
Mm-hmm. And I'm on your website, and I realized that you're an Aquarius, and so am I.
And
I'm not sure. Yeah, I'm not sure if you know that much about the sign, but I do think Aquarians We're very intellectual. We love freedom. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if that has anything to do with the fact that you decided to embark on your own entrepreneurial journey. Because at least for me, I did have one job in a corporate, you know, office, and it was totally not, like, just does not fit my lifestyle or personality.
Oh, you weren't feeling it. I totally get you. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's why, like, you're also just, like, doing your own thing, and that freedom must be just so rewarding.
Yeah.
And yeah, like, so with your company, I would love to know, does social media have any, I guess, like, does it advance your business at all? Not just, like, for awareness, but in clientele? Mm.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, let me just mention one thing real quick. So it's awesome that you're Aquarius, and I totally get it. It's like, it's so funny, because I bet you were doing okay working for a corporation. Mm-hmm. I think we're kind of versatile at the same time, you know, as like Aquarians, we're versatile. So we don't do badly, but we're not fully satisfied, you know, with
Absolutely.
Something that's
yes.
given to us, right? We don't want someone to give us something. We want to be creating something, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm right there with you on that one. I had to say that first. And when it comes to social media, I mean, in the beginning, like, I've had my Twitter account for some time, and like I have my LinkedIn account forever, and you know, all other stuff like Facebook and Instagram, like I have those accounts. In the beginning, though, I didn't feel like myself for a while. I mean, it takes some time to sort of find your own rhythm. I don't know how you feel about that. Like, what's your experience?
With your
social media. Like, it's just it takes some time, because you got to try different things, and you know, you hear things like, you know, wow, now it's all about videos, and now it's all about reels, and you know, now it's all about stories, and you get so frazzled sometimes. But you know, the key thing is that you want to be consistent, you know, whichever platform you pick, you want it to be consistent, and it's okay to be you. And it's some of the things that if you don't feel like doing, you shouldn't be doing it, because you're going to give out that energy of, you know, really not feeling it. And that people tend to pick up on that, right? So, but to answer your question, I've gotten leads and clients through social media for sure. It's not consistent when it comes to doing social media activities organically. I have been experimenting with running ads and stuff like that, but I'm at the beginning stage of it. So there's so much to learn when it comes to paid ads. So I've done Facebook ads, Instagram ads, Pinterest ads, and each and every single one of them is kind of, well, you know, the Facebook and Instagram, they're kind of the same because it's owned by the same company, but there's a steep learning curve to that. And if anyone is interested in tapping into that side of things, because I also believe in paid ads, you know, I love organic activities, of course, but we're running business. So I'm open to paid ads, but we all have to be very patient. And any dollars you're going to spend on paid ads should be considered as tuition. Well, I mean, at least that's how I look at it, so that I don't feel, you know, all nervous about losing money by running a campaign that doesn't turn out to be well, because that's to be expected, especially in the beginning.
That is such a good mindset, because I also feel like I'm a supporter of paid ads, mm-hmm. and I always feel like you have to set your expectations, but realistically, right? So that money that you put in these ads, not only do I personally look at it as an investment, you know, in yourself and your business,
absolutely.
But also you can utilize that data as almost like a focus group and gain feedback or gain insights, right?
Yep. Totally.
So I think people, yeah. So I look at it that way, and it makes me feel so much better and confident in knowing where that money, you know, is taking me in the business, instead of just looking at it as a quick fix or a quick approach to, you know, making money or whatever the case is.
Totally. A lot of people get into it with this huge expectations that it's going to blow up, right? Mm-hmm. Of course, you want that to be the outcome. And I totally get that. And to be honest, when I got into it, I didn't think it was going to be this end-all, be-all kind of a solution. I wasn't that delusional, but of course, like, I had some hopes, right? And but it didn't turn out to be that way. And also, it turned out that's like everyone else's experience. And I've been speaking to people who, you know, run ads and, you know, especially those who teach how to run ads and stuff. And it's so important that we take a step back mentally and look at it as you said, like, I totally agree with you. You know, it's almost like you're creating this focus group so that you understand, you know, what they're thinking, you know, what their reactions like, you know, the data and all that good stuff without judgment or the feeling of shame that it didn't go well for the first few runs or whatever. I think it's really, really important to look at it that way. So, like, for example, like, I'm running one right now for that quiz because I do really wanted to reach out to as many people as possible. And it's like, it's a free quiz, right? There's no loss or risk there, but it's a doorway for them to get to know me and start to get curious about their business and how they wanted to run their businesses, and all of that is in the quiz. So in the beginning, like, some things didn't work out, and it happens all the time. And this round, this has got to be my fourth or fifth round of running ads, like, nothing bothers me anymore. Some stuff doesn't work. All the featured in the ads platform, you know, ads manager or whatever that doesn't work. I'm like, okay, that was to be totally expected. I'm going to save my work and I'm going to close it out and I'll give it a minute. I'll walk away and I'll come back to it. And that was a game changer for me to just look at it that way and not getting all emotionally, you know, attached to what happens to it.
Oh, I love that you say that. That is something that I personally do struggle with, and I'm learning to remove emotions from.
Oh, hard.
It's
you
really
know?
Hard. Yeah,
it is hard because, you know, you spend so much time thinking about what would be, you know, what would be interesting, you know, in terms of a creative. So when I say creatives, that means something visual, whether you're going to do a short video or you're going to use a stock photo, but just, you know, changing it to make it look like an ad. You know, you write your copy, and copywriting is hard. Even if you hire someone, that someone may not really understand your language, your tone, or the way you explain things to people, right? And so you spend so much time prepping for it. Of course, it's hard to remove yourself emotionally from that.
Mm-hmm. But it takes time and practice. And I think the more you do it and the more you become just aware of how better it is to have that mindset and how freeing it can feel, right?
Yeah.
I think that's the point when you're like, wow, I understand that everything is going to work out. I know it's easier said than done, but just having that mindset that life works for you and not against you, it has been, at least for me, just like such a great way to show up every day and not, again, feel attached or disappointed or any of that.
And the same goes for anything to do with running a business. You know, I feel like, you know, this was a really good example to showcase why you need to remove yourself from your, you know, emotions as well as your needs and wants, and stay neutral in your business. You know, a lot of times people get too emotional, and it's totally understandable. It's your business, right? But when I have conversations with other business owners, whether they're my clients or, you know, would be my clients or just, you know, being in a business community, some people get defensive and, you know, when something gets pointed out and, you know, they get defensive and their response is, you know, this is my baby. And, you know, I know my business the best. And there are two different ways of expressing, you know, this is my baby. There's a positive way and a negative way. And you know exactly what they're saying when you hear that, you know, statement, you know, where when you hear that, you know, that story. When someone's defensive and they say, you know, the, you know, this is my baby, that means you're just really, you know, resisting some new idea and you think you know the best. But, you know, as you might know, we have so much to learn, right? We don't know everything about running a business and we're still evolving and learning. It doesn't matter where you're at, right? And the other side, on the flip side, when you are grounded and you're open to learning new things, your tone would be different. Even though it's the same statement, you know, oh, this is my baby, I will take care of it. There's a huge difference there.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Ooh, I just like love when you like talk about business because I feel like a lot of people run businesses without understanding how to run business. Like I feel like sometimes mm-hmm. people just go on autopilot, you know, and they're just yeah. like doing the daily task without understanding like the mechanics that go behind it. And yeah. once you really understand those parts and those moving pieces, your engine can run smoother for like a metaphor, I guess you can say.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, there's no one way to run a business, right? It's mm-hmm. not so much about figuring out how. And I say this every time I run any type of like free workshops or presentations or whatnot, I do it on regular basis. And the one thing that I always say, it doesn't matter what the topic is this, it's most of the business owners are spending too much time on figuring out hows. Mm-hmm. On the other side, what I wanted to encourage everybody to do is to focus on what and why instead. And not worrying too much about, you know, which tool to use. Should I hire a salesperson? Should I do more social media, right? All those questions I get all the time. And what I say is that, no, that's not what you should be focusing on. You should be really clear with your what and why. Why are you running your business? You know, what is your mission? What is, you know, what are your values? And what do you want to be doing? Let's say if there are no constraints, you live in a perfect world, what would you rather be doing? Like you need to explore those things. Then hows will show up by themselves. And most of the time, those hows about whether, like, for example, right, should I be using Notion or ClickUp? You know, those are two apps and tools. And as an example, like, I hear those things all the time. Or should I be doing podcasts or should I be just focusing on YouTube, for example, right? Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, if you know your what and why, those things don't even matter. Because once you pick it, you're going to excel because you're grounded knowing your what and why. And you get to hire other people to figure out hows and whens.
Wow. I never thought about it like that. Because I definitely have fallen in that boat as well.
We all
like
do.
Knowing what my why is, but then like second guessing
yeah.
which method or which approach would be best.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's another reason why that I created that quiz. Mm-hmm. And I'm working on the second quiz now, but the first quiz is actually perfect only because it's just so, it's less threatening. It's just a fun thing to do and you get to learn about it. And once you get this, your full assessment, not only includes overviews, but it also has pros and cons and what you can do going forward. So it's really not just a quiz to find out what the, you know, what your results are, but it also tells you that, you know, how you can leverage your archetype so that you can excel without getting caught up with, you know, which one should I pick? What should I do? Right? All those questions that can sort of keep you busy, but really not, those things are not really profit generating activities that you should be focusing on.
Yes, this is like so relevant to me personally, what I'm going through. So I'm telling you right now, I can't wait to take it. I want to shift gears just a little and ask you what keeps you up at night. This is always the transition question I have on my podcast, because now that we have gotten to know you, Michael, a little more, and your story and what you do, I would love to just check in with you, you know, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, at this current moment as we are recording. Are you stressing about anything? I mean, I know we spoke a little bit about the business and the quiz, but is there anything else that's on your mind that you would like to share?
You know, ultimately speaking, what I wanted to achieve in my business to empower entrepreneurs who want to attain freedom and other non-monetary values. And what keeps me at night, that keeps me up at night, is basically, you know, what other ways for me to be able to help them so that they don't feel like they are surrounded by a bunch of uncertainties. And we just went through 2020. And, you know, things are not totally back to normal. And especially the city like New York, you know, we've witnessed that firsthand, you know, what it used to be and what it is now. And more than ever, for entrepreneurs and business owners, we wanted to work towards attaining the sense of security, whether it's financial or emotional, you know, mental stability. I think we all need to strive for it. And what are the ways that I can help others to achieve that? And that is my ultimate mission. Although, you know, like I am a niche specialist and I do have, you know, educational programs associated with that. But through all of that, you know, my message is that you can be empowered by securing your financial situations to emotional situations, you know, regaining freedom to all those things that made you start your business to begin with. You know, oftentimes like we get bogged down on day-to-day type of tasks and all that stuff, but we all need to keep our eyes on that prize.
So when you help others keep their eyes on the prize, what is your prize? How do you define success? And like, is it correlated to helping others find their success?
Or is Absolutely.
Yeah,
it's totally results driven. So I look at my clients and their journey and how they've evolved, you know, even just to work out one tiny mindset, that's a win for me, because I can tell that they're ready for, you know, a series of breakthroughs. And that gets me going for sure. So it's not so much about how many people, you know, will come into my program. And, you know, that's just the data side of things. And then I don't even get emotional about it anymore. It's more so that, you know, how many people are coming through who are ready to do this work, and how much of a transformation that they're going to experience by working with me. And that is the kind of win that I'm going after. And it does, you know, that's the fulfillment part of it. You know, it makes me feel content and joyful. And that's what I wanted to focus on. Everything else will come with it.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And do you think there's a difference between success and happiness?
Yeah, it's a big topic. You know, I know a lot of people ask this question over social media, and it's not an easy question to answer, right? You know, what is your definition of success? And everybody has a different version of that. And I think that's perfectly all right. So long as you're clear on it, you know, what does success look like to you? So what success looks like to me is for me to be able to fully use my craft, you know, as well as my expertise to help others. And if I feel that I'm doing this day in and day out, then it prevents me from getting burned out or completely stressed out. I get to tap into that sort of flow state zone, if you will, right? So nothing else really matters. You know, who cares about the other what other competitors are doing, you know, what they're doing over social media or what they're selling or how they're pricing things. Those things don't matter anymore because I don't focus on it. You know, I do what I do, right? So that to me is the sign of success. So long as I feel content with what I'm putting out to the universe. And sometimes, you know, I still need to work on myself, and I don't think that's ever gonna stop. But so long as I'm working towards that, that also gives me a sense of satisfaction and fulfillment and even, you know, contentment. And that's what I wanted to focus on, especially when things are chaotic outside in the world, because that's what we're going through right now.
Wow, that sentiment that you just said about, you know, feeling content and all of that, I like resonate with it so much because I am on the same boat with trying to figure out how do I adopt this flow state and how do I stay grounded and focus on how to serve people and others. Yep. And once you act on that, at least for me, right? Because that's what makes me feel fulfilled. Then everything else just aligns. And so when you said that, I was like, oh my God, that's like, I'm there with you on that. So I love that we're vibrating on the same frequency.
Absolutely. And, you know, I will be 100% honest because I don't want to sound like, you know, as if I know all the answers or something. Yeah, you need to stay grounded. And some days are just simply impossible. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want to lie about it. You know, I just want everybody to know, like, some days can be difficult. Mm-hmm. But those are the days that give us a chance to contrast two different things. You know, when things are going well and when things are not going well, it's kind of like a light and darkness and good and bad, those things. Like, we can't be 100% happy every single day. Mm-hmm. And that wouldn't work out, only because we don't know what the other side looks like or feels like, right? Smells like or tastes like. So we don't get to really appreciate what we have. So, you know, some days are not going well. Those need to be there, and it's okay.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. There's always going to be ebbs and flows in life, highs and lows. And I think even, you know, for people who are working towards better themselves, whether that's embarking on a self-love journey, on a spiritual journey, just because you've reached a, let's say, a breaking point or a breakthrough, it doesn't mean that you do not and you will not have those other days where you're feeling low. Like, I think that's something to remember, because I think for me, I've grown tremendously with the way I view life. Mm-hmm. In a more optimistic and positive light. But that doesn't mean that I personally don't have days where I might sink back to those moments of feeling.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Totally. So I go through the same exact thing. Yeah.
Yeah. No, but I love that you mentioned that because, you know, my podcast is really real. And I, like, my whole mission is to acknowledge the 360 approach to life. And it's yep. never going to be black and white. Like, there's always going to be gray areas. And although I have amazing people on my podcast, just like yourself, it doesn't, and you are very successful, right? It doesn't mean that you are your title, right? You're so much more than that, and we're all human. So I'm so grateful that you just wanted to, like, make sure people knew that. I think that's really important.
Oh, totally. It's a new level and a new devil, just because you, it's really funny, right? So once you go through, like, certain revenue target or something that, you know, you, for example, like when you're starting out, you know, I just wanted to replace my salary with my business revenue or business income. And that's a great place to start. And it takes some time to get there, right? And let's just say you got there. That doesn't mean that you mastered all the emotional roller coasters that you went through. You know, there's a whole another level that comes, you know, that you have to face. So it might be that, you know, you may feel like, okay, I made it through, you know, I reached this milestone, but all of a sudden I feel like this was just a fluke, for example. And that's a fear of success, right? We often worry about fear of failures, but the fear of success is also real. So a new level, new devil, and it's just not going to end. Just because somebody makes $100 million, right? That doesn't mean that person is truly happy. May not be, because, you know, he or she might have, like, really grinded their way through to that point, and they got nothing left anymore. Like, they're like a hollow, and they feel empty. And, you know, it's kind of like I use this analogy of like a 31st birthday or something. You know, 21st is a little bit different because it's all about party, right? Now you can drink, you know, publicly, and you don't really have to worry about it. 21st birthday is not really that good example. But let's just say 31st or 41st or 51st, whatever. You wake up the next day, right? You look into the mirror, you see yourself. Nothing really changes all that much. You know, you live in the same place, right? You know, you may still have the same job or same business or whatever. You still have your family. And really, like, there's no, like, a drastic change. Like, there are no clouds parting, angels appearing with trumpets, and you know, none of that happens, right? It's kind of the same. Like, so a lot of times entrepreneurs do face depression because of it, because they have so much expectations about reaching a, you know, a certain goal, whatever goal that may be. And once reached to that point, they're like, oh, this is what I was striving for. Well, that's the reason why, like, you really need to focus on what and why and how you wanted to feel mm-hmm. joyful and a contentment and all that stuff. And not just about dollars.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Like, yes, yes, yes to everything you said. I was just, like, being present and, like, nodding my head. Okay. Well, thank you so much for sharing that. And as we are wrapping up, mm-hmm. since you have heard my previous episodes, you know yep. what I'm about to ask you. And all right. my podcast is called The City Confessions. So I would love for you, Michael, to share a confession. And I want to preface this by saying this is a judgment-free zone. There's no right. good or bad, right or wrong. It's however you receive this question. So if you can share a confession with all of us, what would that be?
Yeah, it would be that, you know, I wanted to, like, kind of a circle back to this whole city thing. You know, New yes. York is really special. So I, you know, I came here to the States as an exchange student first time around, and I got sent over to upstate New York, which was a good example, like a good experience. I totally, you know, enjoyed that experience. I learned a lot. But, you know, my host family took me down here to the city during the Christmas time. And I realized, oh, this is it. This is where I needed to be. That's all, you know, that's how it all started. And over the years, you know, I've gone through dot-com bust to 9/11 to 2003 blackout to, you know, 2008 mortgage crisis. And now we're here with this stuff, right? Going through all that. And I've seen it all. And if I am to be 100% honest with you, the city has changed, you know, almost for the first time. Not in a great way for me, but the New Yorkers, like we got grit. So I know that we're going to rebuild. It may take some time. It may take longer than before because we're dealing with something completely new right now, you know. But we got grit, so we're going to come back up really strong. But this was the kind of the first time for me that I thought, oh, it's kind of not the same anymore. Mm-hmm. So that scared me a bit because I love the place so much. Everything to do with it, like good and bad, because there are plenty of bad in this city. You know, if I am to be completely honest with everyone, all the listeners and everybody, I mean, you know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. You know, and the smell of garbage during the summertime, I mean, it's there. It's real, you know, every year. Like, it's the city, right? But I'm really hoping that we're going to come back even stronger after mm-hmm. this. So that's my confession.
Well, thank you for sharing that. And as a native New Yorker, I've had those thoughts as well, where yeah. I was like, wow, I've always been so proud, and I still am. But right. there are moments where I think about, wow, is the city changing for the worse, right? And yeah. it's hard because I have felt the highest, mm-hmm. like on cloud nine living in the city, like feeling so unstoppable.
Right.
And then to have all these other just external things happening, there you can't help but to question just the state of the world and the state of the city and what yep. does that mean? And when you've experienced such a high moment, you can't also help but to compare, right? And to think about, okay, is it ever going to be like that? Is it ever going to be the same? But I totally. Have hope, so yeah.
Yeah, and I feel the same. It was different from, say, like something like 9/11 to me. Mm-hmm. 9/11 was more like, you know, it's all about resilience. Like, we are tough and we're going to overcome it. That energy was still there, even though it was bad, right? It was bad, but I felt that like sort of electric energy in the air, and we're willing to really like get to work right away. This time around, it's a little bit different.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, I trust me. I feel you on that. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I want to take a moment right now to just send you my gratitude. I think anybody who says yes to being a guest on my podcast, it is something that I don't take lightly. I know if anything, time is money, time is valuable. Mm-hmm. So the fact that you carved out time and energy, right, which is something that's very sacred, to come and speak with me and my audience, that means the world to me. So I do want to just send you my gratitude and appreciation for that.
Oh, thank you so much. I totally feel that. And this has been a real fun conversation. So I really enjoyed every bit of it.
I'm so glad to hear that. And right now, it is your chance to plug away. I'm definitely going to have all of your information, your bio, your links, your blog, all of that in the show notes. But do you have anything you want to tease or that you are working on that you're going to release within the next few months, the next year? What can the world be?
Oh, thank you. Yeah, no, I really appreciate you giving me a chance to talk about it. I'm working on, well, first and foremost, you know, go ahead and take the quiz. And that's just the easiest thing to do. And you can find the quiz on my site. It will pop up anyway. You just click away and you'll be done in 3 minutes. Then I'm going to be having a workshop coming up. I think it's going to be in mid-August or so. And it is about, you know, how to really like package your offer, you know, how to productize your offer, you know, based on your niche. So it's going to be really interesting. So I, you know, definitely encourage you to, you know, sign up for my email newsletter. I will usually share, you know, all the news with them first, and I send out my email weekly. So those are the two easy things that, you know, anyone can do. And I totally encourage everybody to do that.
Amazing. So everybody, be sure to click on the show notes, to click on the link and follow Michael and just support her and her beautiful, beautiful business. I think what she's doing, I mean, what you're doing, I'm speaking to you, is wonderful.
Thank
you. So my final question is, what is the one thing you love most about yourself?
Yeah, you know, over time it changed, I feel like. But I would say that it's kind of like you, since you pointed out us being Aquarius, right? My versatility, for sure. You know, we can be cold water. We can be steam. You know, we can be a block of ice if we like to. And but without really changing the core, you know, what we believe in, you know, what we value, I do love about that, because I know that it doesn't come easy for others. So I definitely wanted to leverage that part, that I get to change and be flexible to meet people at where they are.
Oh, I love that. That is such a beautiful way to end this podcast. So I'm not even going to chime in anymore. Thank you so much, Michael, for coming and speaking with us. I hope you all enjoyed this episode. Feel free to follow Michael on Instagram, on Twitter, on all her platforms. I hope you have a beautiful day and stay tuned for next week's episode. All right, bye.
Bye. Thank you.